everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond doing another Grab the Mic episode. Why am I doing the Grab the Mic episode? Whenever these ideas come up, there's things that people say, things that I'll see, things that people post, and it makes my mind work, makes me start thinking. Today, I want to grab the mic and have us talk about an emotion. Yes, an emotion. Go figure, right? Gosh, I remember one time someone said to me, "You're always so deep. You're a deep thinker." Yes, I suppose I am. I'd like us to talk about, though, the topic of frustration. And why this came up was some of the postings that I'm seeing on LinkedIn, people posting their frustration and other people's comments. Two people posting their frustration. In particular, the frustration of job seeking, the frustration of being unemployed, the frustration of the hiring process, and the frustration of the lack of support and the amount of time that it is taking to find another position. All of those lived experiences are like a laundry basket with a bunch of different items that have the tag on it of frustration. And one of the comments that I saw was somebody saying to another person who was expressing their frustration was the comment of, "You're negative." Isn't that negative? And it really made me pause because I thought to myself, why is one person sharing their reality negative? Looking for a job for 2 freaking years and being ghosted and all of the data points that this person collected, why would someone interpret, and it wasn't actually that posting, it was another posting, but my point is, why would somebody posting on LinkedIn their frustrations and their lived experience be interpreted as negative? That was negative. You're being negative. So the question becomes, is one person's perception differently interpreted? And therefore, one person would say negative and another would say reality of social injustice. Reality of social injustice. But another person is going to point the finger and say, you are being negative. If a person on LinkedIn, for example, shares their lived experience with the current hiring process and shares their reality, does that communicate sharing frustration? Or being negative. Perhaps what may appear as negative is really the expressed emotion of frustration. Now, we need to take a step further here, okay? Guys, this is the stuff I think about all the time. Okay, I have like stacks of journals because I write this stuff out. These are things that I think about. And when I see this stuff, it makes me go, wait a minute. And you know what? I have to share with folks. I got myself frustrated today myself. I was frustrated. I want to give this person a shout out, okay? I want to give them a shout out. All right, Miss Katrina Clay in LA. This woman has been looking for a job for 2 freaking years. They've been looking for a job for 2 years. Now, I wish I could read her post. I'm trying to scroll here and find her post. You know what? I apologize. Oh, yep. She, her pronouns. All right. I just want to be mindful of that. Corporate event planning, billing analyst, 6 years of experience of managing the pre-planning operation and the logistics of events. They're in LA. Miss Katrina Clay posted, been looking for 2 years, has finally said, you know, I've had enough of this. And, yeah, they're here. This is what they wrote. They said, two years and decided, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to try to do something on my own. I wish I could find the statistics of what they posted, though, the number of applications, the number of interviews, the ghosting. And it, why is it like that? Why is it like that? I had actually someone say to me today, well, you're frustrated because you're looking at it from a moral perspective. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, yes, you're right. I am. When there's people that are suffering and frustrating, see, chronic frustration, it doesn't just stay at being frustrated, the emotion of frustration. It can lead to other things. It can lead to self-harm. It can lead to suicide ideation. So yes, morally, I got a problem with it. I have a problem with it. Let's talk about what is frustration. Okay, so the Mental Health America, another shout out there. Great organization, doing some amazing stuff. I've actually got some friends and colleagues in Kentucky. Want to give a shout out to them. MHA. MHA says that frustration is a complicated mix of anger, disappointment, and annoyance. An annoyance. And sometimes I think that the annoyance component of frustration is the key driver. It's like that passive aggressive. It is. It's that passive aggressive irritant that never goes away. It's that voice that just doesn't shut up. Have you ever been in a room before in Minnesota? Okay, it's good. It's really nice today, by the way, in Minnesota. I'm glad for this. In Minnesota, though, we've got some serious mosquitoes, okay? Have you ever been in a dark room, like you're ready to go to bed and you're laying there and you're all nice and like, oh, everything's ah. And then all of a sudden you hear that sound of the mosquito and you're like, where is it? Where? Because you know if you don't get it, it's going to keep you up at night. You're going to be thinking about, oh man, am I going to be waking up with some welts the next day? Because the Minnesota mosquitoes, they don't play around, okay? They got like major big straws when they're taking some blood from us. You get these welts, I kid you not. But it's like the mosquito. Annoyance is the mosquito in the middle of the night that you're trying to catch. And you know it's there. And it makes stuff worse. So that's what Mental Health America says that frustration is. It's a complicated mix of anger, disappointment, and annoyance. And what can we do? What can we do? What are some other other deeper feelings, if you will, because, you know, like Dr. Dan Siegel, and yes, another shout out, he was on a podcast that we did months ago and shared that, you know, we have to name it to tame it. We name it to understand. We don't give it a label and keep the label and identify with the label. We label it so we can understand it. And then once we understand it, then we can work on the taming piece. Psychology Today, Dr. Andrea Boiner, I think her name is, B-O-N-I-O-R. Hope I'm saying that right. I have no idea. And again, my apologies if I'm mispronouncing your name. You get a free, I wish I had a motherboard, I'd do a ding, ding, ding. You get a free moment to call me Debbie. That's it. If I make a Dory moment or make a mistake or something, that's a free Dory moment, Debbie moment for everybody. All right. So we'll just call her Dr. Boiner, says that, you know, frustrating and frustration, it's an emotional label and there's underlying emotions that are tagged to, like a barnacle, if you will. The little barnacles that are, you know, holding on to frustration. So frustration is the top layer of feelings, but there's stuff underneath. Here she says, Merriam-Webster defines being frustrated in part as feeling discouragement, anger, and annoyance because of unresolved problems or unfulfilled goals, desires, or needs. The example that Dr. Boiner gives here is when you're frustrated because you can't open up a jar of, say, like spaghetti sauce. I'd actually like to say, I think there's many people in the world right now are frustrated because they're doing all the right things. Let's just take again, job hunting, connecting with people, networking with people, posting regularly, commenting regularly to other people's stuff, adjusting the resume each time, identifying the keywords in the job description, tailoring the cover letter, making sure that, you know, there's no typos, everything's in the right format. Maybe you worked with a resume writer, you've invested in yourself, you've invested in a resume writer, and you're doing all these things that the experts say to do, and yet you show up for an interview that's, say, maybe 50 minutes. The organization gets 45 minutes of asking you 12 to 15 questions, and the candidate gets 5 minutes of time. Moral discrepancy? Perhaps, but maybe not. Because like Dr. Deb says, there's more than one way to make a chocolate chip cookie. And we're looking at the ingredient of frustration. All right, here's some other information from Psychology Today. While we picture frustration, underneath is anger, a person who's sulking. And that's a common one. That's a common underlying emotion. And there's several here. There's anger, there's anxiety and fear. A lot of times the frustration seems a safer emotion to admit than fear. So if we're looking, we're asking ourselves the question, do I feel frustrated or do I feel fear and anxiety? And the answer can be yes and. The answer can be yes and yes, I feel frustrated and I have anxiety and fear over the situation. So we have to also look at things like sadness. So chronic frustration can lead to sadness, can lead to guilt and shame. And those are all underlying emotions. The challenge and the concern that I have with the things that I've seen. And another reason why I'm grabbing the mic is because I'm also of the belief, you know, you see a need and you fill a need. And I cannot sit by and look at the stuff that I'm seeing from, yes, our brothers and sisters. Our humanity is crying out saying, please help me. Please. I saw another gal who had her car repossessed. Another person is 2 months away of being evicted from their apartment. But yeah, we have record-breaking profits. And again, I circle back to the person who said the comment, and I don't want to get frustrated, about my morals. Yes. Yes. Global leaders. Yes. My question is, where the hell is yours? If I can say that more in a Midwest accent. But I don't want to slam leaders, because not all leaders are like that. Not all leaders are like that. And the other thing, using balanced thinking, is I keep wondering, when are we going to hear some success stories? Because we also know that media has a tendency to perpetuate these kinds of stories because it's constantly giving us that shot of adrenaline, that shock therapy, that shockness, right? And we become addicted to it. That's why reality TV is so successful. Now, on the other hand, I got to see what the dog's doing over here. I don't know. He's, must be a ball in the corner. Oh, Max. Max is just wonderful. He always gives me a little distraction. You know, it's like, okay, what's going on? Circling back, though, the things that I'm reporting on today are actual postings from people on LinkedIn. The things that they're sharing. And I'm noticing patterns that people are frustrated. And my concern is that the long-term effects of frustration can lead to some serious conditions and like helplessness and hopelessness. And if you can't go on LinkedIn and sense the frustration and to sense the concern and have that concern for humanity, I think there's some contemplation work that needs to be done. That's just my opinion. What can we do though, right? So I don't want to be stuck in the frustration component, because a part of this podcast is education and looking for solutions, looking for ways, again, more than one way to make a chocolate chip cookie. So how can we provide education that maybe shifts that frustration like a rusty old nugget, right, on a bolt, and you're trying to move it and it's not moving because frustration's got you so wound up and tight that the can of hope, which is the WD-40, sprays on there, and then lo and behold, there's some movement. And maybe this episode is the WD-40 of hope. I'd like to think so. And it's going to move some stuff. And there's going to be some movement for people. I don't know. Maybe Katrina Clay is going to be the first one. Maybe someone's going to be listening to this podcast and go, you know, I'm going to go check out that person, see what they got going. And you know what? You never know. You just never know. So what can we do? What can we do when we feel frustrated? I do want to talk about something before we get into the what can we do. So what is the opposite of frustration? Did you know that frustration actually robs us of joy? Isn't that sad? And believe me, when I'm feeling frustrated, I sometimes have a difficult time myself moving. And it's like, meaning moving to move out of frustration to then, because I do say to myself, you know what? This is stealing your joy, man. This is sucking the oxygen of life from you. It is a toxin. It is harming you and harmful. And sometimes I get frustrated with myself because I'm like, I know this and I'm trying to figure it out. And sometimes, you know, I even have a note written to myself. I'll read it. I'll share it with you guys. This is what I say to myself. I got a note. I kid you not. I'm reading it right here. It's on my desk. Do what makes you happy. Energy first, logic second. Feel more, think less. That's what I tell myself. I got a piece of paper right here on my desk. In the moments where I'm frustrated and I'm like so wound up tight, like that bolt just can't freaking move. It's all rusted and whatever. And it's so wound up tight that there's no way it's going to have any loose movement, right? So I keep this here on my desk because I want it to be visible when I need it. I want it to be visible when I need it. And I'll read this to you again. This is what I do. Do what makes you happy. So maybe I'll take a pause and take the dog for a walk, or I'll connect with somebody, friend, colleague, go for a cup of coffee somewhere where, you know, like I got to drive like 20 minutes to go get one of my favorite ones. But it's great because I get fresh air too. Energy first, logic second. That means, you know what? I keep thinking and thinking and thinking, and thinking's not going to get me out. Thinking stinking. So I'm going to meditate. The other thing too is energy first is to dance. Is to dance. Feel more, think less. Yes, feel more, think less. Acknowledge how I feel. Comfort myself. Yep, I got a friend that says, shit, damn, piss. That's what they say. And sit with it to validate it. But don't sit with it to make it part of your family. I'll say that one again. Sit with it to validate it, but don't sit with it to make it part of your family. Don't give it residence. Nope, it gets an eviction notice. All right, so the opposite of frustration is satisfaction, delight, encouragement, joy, happiness, pleasure, reward. And frustration robs us of all of those things. It robs us of all of those things. Did you know, too, that chronic frustration can lead to physical ailments? Yes, it's very true. You can go look it up and look at some of the research there. So frustration is a difficult one, but what can we do? What can we do to be productive with our emotions? Acknowledge them again. Don't let them be part of our family. And here again is some information from Mental Health America. Do some breathing exercises. They have a lovely image here. I'm sure you've seen it. It's the triangle that appears, and you breathe in and you breathe out. Whether you decide to do some breathing exercises looking at a wonderful video or even looking at an image, sometimes people like nature, sometimes people like the sky, sometimes people like looking at flowers or even a mandala. There's some geometric mandalas, which are really super cool to look at. So, or even maybe nothing at all. Just closing your eyes and breathing and doing some breathing exercises. Again, that the breathing exercise, linking back to the stress relaxation response, that's Herbert Benson's work. And I think we should do an episode specifically and maybe do a webinar on Herbert Benson's relaxation techniques. Another one they say at MHA is to progressive muscle relaxation. So as you are aware of what parts of your body is responding to muscle tension, you can help your mind relax at the same time too. Again, so we're being really aware of how are we storing the frustration in our body and where are we sensing that frustration in our body? And then visualizing that we're sending more oxygen and even love to those areas. Meditate. Use an app if you need one, but meditate, connect with your feelings, and create a space between your feelings and your thoughts and your emotions. Exercise. I'm still going to exercise tonight, believe it or not, and I know that it's getting late. Physical activity is a mood booster. Now, I do want to say that as much as it takes to get to the gym or maybe to your home exercise equipment area, there's also videos that you can do that are stretching, and there's Tai Chi. There are, you can even do, hey, let's do some old school Richard Simmons, sweating to the oldies. Why not? Why not? Or better yet, just flip on, you know, your music app and do a little line dance there in the kitchen. Why not? Why not? And yoga. There's many different yoga poses that can help bring calmness. Another one is to vent. So instead of ruminating on the frustration and the anger and the emotions, talk to somebody. Don't focus on it for too long. Try to give yourself about 15 minutes or so and see how you feel. Remember, there's always crisis lines, there's 988, depending on what country you're in. In the United States, we have 988. We can always call. Another type of technique, and I find this one to be really helpful. I've got stacks of journals. I kid you not. I keep ordering these packs from Amazon. Is to journal. Is to write it out. Just write it out. Write it out. What's nice about journaling is it doesn't stay in our minds the same way when we journal. It's different than we're typing versus handwriting. And I know there's studies to show that this is the case, and I need to find some of those so that I can actually cite the studies. I've read them and I cannot remember and I cannot find them. I usually keep the journals that I read, but for some reason, this is what I'm trying to find. And it escapes me where I've organized my folder and where I've put this. But there are research studies that show when you take a writing instrument like a pen or a pencil and you write and you journal on paper versus typing. Another medium that you can use is drawing. So coloring, painting, and that's another form of expression. The point is to get it out of your head, the frustration, and put it on paper in any sort of medium, whether it's written word or using art. Another way they're saying here at MHA is get outside in the backyard. I'm sure that people are very familiar with forest bathing. I had the opportunity to talk to Bernie Siegel about, you know, why is it so important to put our feet in the dirt, in the grass? And do you know how many nerve endings are on the bottom of your feet? This is why foot massages feel so good. Get your feet in the grass, get your feet in the dirt, get your feet and the sand. Just 60 seconds of stepping out. Take the socks off. Rub your toes in the carpet. Better if you're outside, but you know what? You never know where you're at in the world, and it can be getting ready to whatever happen. You never know. It could still snow here in Minnesota. And then also the other thing is to treat yourself to whatever that comfort means. I can share with you one of my comfort foods is spinach pie. I could have spinach pie in my house constantly. The challenge is I make it in this really huge sheet can, like sheet pan, and I can eat the whole thing, okay? So, but it is such a good comfort food. So when you think about like what's your comfort food, it's okay to take a moment to comfort yourself. Maybe you have a favorite blanket or a favorite sweater, a favorite song, maybe it's a candy that you like. Not saying, I'm just saying. We all have the thing that brings us comfort. For me, it's that aroma of Greek food smell, you know, the aroma of cooking in the home. And that's something actually that I do when, yeah, I'm like, I'm so frustrated. It's like, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to make this and figure out what the menu is and get all the ingredients. And the kitchen's a happy place for me. So treat yourself. MHA now is saying sometimes you just want to lay on the couch with a bag of chips and your favorite movie, and that's okay. As long as it doesn't become an unhealthy habit, there's nothing wrong with treating yourself to some comforting pleasures. They have a different word. I'm going to say comforting instead. Comforting. And another thing you can do is spend time with animals. And if you don't have an animal, because maybe you can't have an animal in your place, go to the local shelter. Go spend some time with some animals. And I have to say that, yeah, there are times where I'll say, you know, I can't say it right now because if I say it, you know what's going to happen? He's going to look at me and be like, oh, what's going on? But I think you get the gist. It's like, you know, you go on that vehicle that's got like four wheels and with the K-E-Y-S and you're taking off doing something. I mean, he is my plus one, I tell you. Another thing too that we can do is distract ourselves. And distraction doesn't mean avoid. It actually means to try to do something to redirect our thinking, such as doing a puzzle or reading. And some other things they say is get creative, do some crafting, drawing, and also start a garden or tend to a houseplant. Music's on here. Get organized. Maybe take 10 minutes to clean an area. I find this one interesting. Wash your face. Putting cold water on your face just doesn't feel refreshing. It can actually slow a heart rate and breathing, which is really nice. Something else too you can take, I've seen people do this, is where they take a cold press and actually place it on the back of their neck. I've seen people do that. And those are some suggestions about how do we move from frustration that's already robbing us of the joy and the happiness in our life to get rid of the frustration. And I have to say one thing. If I ask the question, because I came up with this question, what would get rid of the frustration immediately? And I think that for some folks here, especially on LinkedIn, that getting a job, and not just any job, a position that they felt valued and respected and making a difference and enjoying what they're doing and getting compensated for that, being part of a group where, yes, they're making a difference. They have meaning and purpose. Their skills are being utilized, and the organization validates that appreciation. It reminds me of when someone would say, could you imagine if someone said this in an offer letter? You know what? We are so thrilled that we met you. We've been looking for so long to meet someone just like you. It reminds me of the Van Morrison song. I know I'm dating myself, and that's okay. But yes, someone like you. Someone like you. Wouldn't that be amazing if offer letters were exactly that? We've been waiting for someone like you. I mean, here's another person here. I've applied to more than 1,000 job listings since February of 2023. Java developer, Cisco, Mansoor, and I apologize if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly, Shiaka. Another person, Sammy Ellisim, less than 2 months from being homeless. These are real people's stories. I'm trying to find this one specifically here from Katrina Clay. It was just so, so powerful. And I thought to myself, why? I mean, the frustration. Please don't scroll by this post. You'll see why. I mean, people are saying, please don't scroll by this post. Here's another one. I'm tired. This person's saying that they're tired. They're tired. Here it is. This is what she says. I'm giving up. I give up on my job search. May 5th will make it 2 years of unemployment. 4,000 or more applications. 5 rescinded offers, unlimited amount of ghosting. This quote right here is so powerful. I have nothing left to feel when it comes to working for someone else. I've gotten rejected so much, I've forgotten what it feels like to be accepted. Organizations are talking about DEI and B. Listen to this phrase. This is a person. This is one of our brothers and sisters. I've gotten rejected so much, I've forgotten what it feels like to be accepted. Frustration? Very much so. Very much so. If you've made it this far to the podcast, I got something special for you. Because like I said earlier, if you're paying attention, which, you know what, the people that come here and listen, you guys are the best of the best. How do I know? Because we got 100% retention and listenership, and it's like in over 100 countries, and that says a lot about who you are. So here's the sitch. If you happen to be a person that is out of work, looking for a job, has been in the job market, this podcast of frustration, this resonates with you, I want you to drop us a line at hello@ptsdandbeyond.org, because we're doing a peer group specifically and only for people that are looking for a position, that are unemployed, and that are job seekers. We're using the same format that we've used with our PTSD group, with PTSD and Beyond for peer support. And if you send us an email at hello@ptsdandbeyond.org, I'll send you some information. And yes, it'll come from me. It's not going to be a spam message. It'll come from me with the information on when we're going to start, what are these going to look like, what time are they going to be at, how long they're going to be, what are we going to do, what's the expectation, and what you're going to get out of it. The biggest thing you're going to get out of it is community, and these frustrations are going to diminish. And how do I know? Because I've seen the same thing with people who have suffered from post-traumatic stress after being in our peer group, feel a lot better. The challenges are still there, and they feel better. So their outlook is different. Because right now, people are frustrated. So I'm going to repeat it again. If you're still here, and thank you for being here, by the way, send us a note, an email at hello@ptsdandbeyond.org, and I'll send you some information about when we're going to start that group. Okay? I'll send you the dates and all the information, and we can communicate if you have more questions, okay? All right, you guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. Thank you so much for being here. Don't let frustration rob you of your joy. Connect with us. Keep writing the stuff out. Find the thing that you say, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Because we can see through research where chronic frustration can lead. And yes, being in the job market for 2 years, being in the job market, just being in the job market can lead to frustration. And I'll say it again. Connect with us at hello@ptsdandbeyond.org and get the information on the dates of when we're doing our peer group specifically and only. This means no recruiters. If you are unemployed and you're a recruiter, that's your career. Okay. But no recruiters, no lurkers. This is just for us. All right. All right, guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. We're stronger together. We're better together. And by golly, take what resonates and go beyond.